Hello.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome to the turn of the century special. What should we call this episode?
The special.
Well, what if there's more than one special?
1890s special? 19th century special. Extra special 19th century special. We hyped it up last week a lot, so.
Well, usually I do the title of a film that we watched that week.
Mm-hmm.
But since we're recapping, then everything would be a repeat.
A review. A decade in review.
1888 to 1899 review. When we first started recording for this podcast, we actually tried to sum up this 10-year period into one episode originally.
Yeah, it came out pretty clunky and we weren't satisfied.
Trying to tell the story of this seemingly short period of time, there was a lot of and then and then and then and then. We went from photography to Edward Muybridge's motion studies to everybody scrambling to make cameras, figuring out how to do that smoothly, make motion pictures, and by the time we got to the last episode, they work well enough that people are just figuring out what to point them at next.
That's actually not an inaccurate summation. Yeah, it's a great short summation, but that all assumes that you've listened to our previous episodes. So when we tried to do it all in one, it just became really clunky and incomprehensible.
Watching the films from this period just seemed to indicate that there wasn't much to talk about around them. The intent of this podcast was to watch one film per episode and discuss it.
Yeah, so like in our mind, it was like, they're so short. All of these films combined add up to maybe the length of one feature-length film, so we can just lump them all together into one episode. And
we were very wrong about
that. Super-duper wrong about that.
So there was a period where we were trying to record our first episodes, and we couldn't figure out why it was so difficult, but we were trying to cover too much.
Yeah, and we wanted, in each of the episodes, we wanted to provide some sort of context as to why this film is important, and to try and sum up all of film's early accomplishments in one half-hour to 90-minute episode. It just was an impossible task.
Yeah. Originally, it was, this is a 20th century film podcast. And then I said, well, maybe we should just do an episode of leading up to 20th century, and that will be cheating a little bit, but who cares? And then, little did I know.
Yeah, now we're 12 episodes in.
And finally at 1900, which, by the way, is very early. Queen Victoria is still alive.
Yeah.
World War I hasn't happened yet.
Right. Yeah, we're still 20 years before the first commercial radio broadcast.
The Romanovs are still in power.
Yeah, Anastasia, in all likelihood, saw a movie before she died.
Insane.
Isn't that crazy? I don't know. It's always a bit of a mind fuck. I know I sort of wax poetic a little bit about, wow, can you imagine what it must have been like to be there? But I don't know, for real, man. Like, once you put some of this in context, it truly is mind-blowing that this is truly a window to things that are gone now.
Well, and that's the novelty of watching these actualities and short films from this time. It's funny that us watching films of Victorian people, they're just fun to watch because they exist. Just the spectacle of it is enough to make me want to watch it, which is exactly why people were watching them at this time, too. The spectacle of it was enough. It was a different reason, but it's funny that we're more or less watching these actualities for the same reason that the people in contemporary times were.
Right. Well, you could actually, we have a moving picture of Queen Victoria, right?
Yeah.
So in the most strict sense of the word.
You can't say her that well, but oh well.
We have a Victorian film. But
literally a Victorian film. It's right. Her Diamond Jubilee.
Right, yeah.
But the idea of I don't care what these people are doing. I just want to watch it.
Yeah.
I just want to see a vaudeville performance from 1895. I want to see Annie Oakley shoot a gun. It's actually Annie Oakley on film.
Totally. I mean, and that was just it. That these things that weren't necessarily available in your hometown, let's say you lived in, I don't know, Nowheresville, Oklahoma. Annie Oakley probably isn't coming to your hometown, but if you have a local movie theater, well, you can go see her, and it's almost the same thing.
A few episodes ago, we talked about basically the first pay-per-view, the Corbett Fitzsimmons boxing match.
Ah, yes. The men with the short shorts.
Which I don't think I mentioned in that episode that I heard someone in my researches mention that prize fighting was illegal in many U.S. states. So the appeal of a film of this match existing was huge.
But yeah, I mean, you could make money off of that after the fact, and you could make money on places where it would otherwise be illegal to make money off of boxing.
Yeah, the value of film as a medium was really very obvious by 1899, whereas just 10 years earlier, people were dismissing it as a fad.
Yeah, and I think that's true both artistically, but more importantly, probably, in terms of it proving not to be a fad monetarily. And that's actually probably the biggest takeaway from this century or era.
Yeah, so there's a huge turnaround that's about to happen. I said a couple of episodes ago that it's a little bit sad that the era of actualités is ending, when people weren't really taking film very seriously because they didn't have much of a reason to.
Oh, yeah.
Whee! Ha ha ha! Let's point it at this now. Nobody was really... Yeah, they accomplished so much without even realizing what they were doing. The first sound film was made in this time. People were already colorizing film. They were just throwing it out there, just trying shit.
Yeah, yeah. That's a very poetic way to kind of sum that up. You know, they didn't have a reason to take it seriously. No one was under a time crunch. People who were doing this were doing it on their own time, and often at the cost of their own money, and because they were passionate about it, not because they were on some sort of deadline, except with maybe the exception of Dixon working with Edison. But I feel it seems like he had a lot of leeway with what he was doing.
But the idea of a film studio trying to churn out movies to make money
didn't exist yet.
That didn't exist yet.
Yeah.
Film studios are starting to pop up around this time. We've mentioned several of them in the last few episodes that were founded.
Yeah, but they're still trying to get
their Everybody's feet just under trying them. To figure out what they're doing. Yeah,
yeah. They're still trying to get on their feet or whatever and figure out how it all works. They're building the industry. It doesn't exist yet.
And if they did something like make the first film of some genre that we decided later on, like we mentioned last episode, Kidnapping by Indians, I guess is the first Western, then it was totally by accident.
Yeah, absolutely. No one did that on purpose.
But it seemed like suddenly from 1900 onward, it wasn't just, oh, camera manufacturers are making video cameras now. They're just adding on some part of their business that's easy.
Sure, sure.
That if that's a fad, then we'll just stop making them and fine. Mm-hmm. Nobody's fully investing in that. But at some point, William K. Dixon decided to leave Thomas Edison's employ and begin a film studio. He made that his career.
Yeah, in pursuit of more freedom, more creative freedom, or maybe he just had that vision for the future that Edison lacked.
Or more importantly, when he started working for Thomas Edison, he didn't take that job to one day become a filmmaker.
No.
Or to start a movie studio. Yeah. By founding these studios, people were admitting that this was a job, was running a studio, which meant that movies were legitimate as a serious moneymaker.
Oh, yeah.
You can build an entire business around them.
Sort of like a newspaper or a magazine, something like that, yeah.
Well, they're building the foundations of an industry.
Mm-hmm.
These people that are walking out and sticking flags in the ground like, there's no one here, I guess I'll take I'll take this piece of the pie.
Yeah.
Because as soon as they, I mentioned something like this before, as soon as cameras worked well enough that you can film things and replay them with some dependency, and now you have this tool in your hands, now you've been given this power,
mm-hmm.
Well, the people that made this industry what it is are the people that realized that it was a power to begin with.
And man, they should really make a movie about this time.
Yeah, I've thought about that.
Well, we kind of hinted at it earlier in the show when we were talking about W.K.L. Dixon and his eventual split with Edison.
Well, we talked about a biopic of William K. Dixon.
Yeah.
Played by Gary Oldman.
Yes.
And then John Lithgow as Thomas Edison. I almost just said John Lovitz.
John Lovitz is Thomas Edison. That's a different movie.
Excuse me, I'm suing you.
That's a different genre. That's Drunk History.
Oh my God. Oh, they canceled that show. I know. It's so sad. I loved it. Love that show.
I don't know though. I think a W.K.L. Dixon role that has Oscar written all over it for someone.
It would be good to have something a little more inclusive though. Not necessarily a biopic or not a documentary, but
no, definitely not a documentary.
Something that tells the story of, I don't know, the scramble to fucking invent film, and then, oh my God, I'm making a camera first. No me. And then, okay, we have cameras now. What do we do? I don't know.
Well, the reason we chose W.K.L. Dixon was because he was around basically through this whole time period. He would have been working at Edison's lab this whole time, and Edison, because of his fame, he was meeting a lot of these important people. So, you know, it wouldn't be too hard to sort of stick W.K.L. Dixon just in the room as some of these meetings were happening, which we know from history actually happened.
I've watched a lot of really smart dudes talk about this period of time, and they often mention that these people weren't inventing cameras in a fucking hole in the ground. They were talking to each other.
Mm-hmm.
They were talking to people who knew that guy. Somebody who knew Etienne Jules Marais, who I don't even think we talked about him on this podcast, and all those very early people. It wasn't hard to get to Europe.
No.
People talked to each other. They wrote letters.
And I'm sure that people were publishing in professional journals and things as well.
Yeah, there were small circles of inventors. Yeah. That's who it was about in the early days.
Wacky scientists.
So I think they should do more of like a, not vignettes, but a similar screenplay to The Big Short.
Yeah.
Like that movie is about the housing crisis from the perspectives of a few different people. And then occasionally Margot Robbie sits in a bathtub and explains stuff to you.
Yeah, I agree. It needs multiple perspectives in order to really tell the full story. Somebody write that. And,
I was just thinking that.
Get back to us.
Somebody with Final Draft Pro just slap that together for us really quick.
So that's the movie we would have made up about this time.
I also, as I've said before, I wish that there were a film about Georges Méliès.
Oh, yeah.
That wasn't Hugo.
Yeah.
Which, as touching as that film is, it's not really a biopic. But the best part of that movie is where they show, like, the flashbacks of him making his movies. I think he totally deserves his own film. William K. Dixon, Georges Méliès.
Alice Guy, for sure.
Marianne Cotillard has to play Alice Guy in a movie.
Casting Méliès would be very difficult.
I think that he would need to be played by a French actor.
Yeah, I think that, I think it would need to be. I would also watch a French language Lumière's brothers movie.
Well, we didn't get too much into their lives, I suppose.
No,
these other ones are interesting because we know something about them.
No, the Lumières just pretty much invented the camera, had the first film showing, and then like moved on, it seems.
And the rest of the time they just sat around and played cards.
Just hanging
every
out.
Day for the rest of their lives. They did nothing at all.
I mean, I'm sure that's not true, but they weren't like personally interesting. I mean, even though they didn't end up becoming film famous, they didn't like die destitute in a gutter because they failed to see the relevancy of film. They're just normal dudes.
Well, they didn't have a relatable story arc the way that Méliès did.
Mm-hmm.
Where he was moderately successful as a magician, wildly successful as a filmmaker, until suddenly he wasn't. Almost died, forgotten about, but then people sort of said, wait, never mind, we love you, near the end of his life. And he has this big comeback story. We'll talk more about that when we get to that point. It's like in the late 20s.
But that's exactly what I mean, that like his story is in some ways emblematic of a lot of stories in film to come, whereas the Lumières sort of fizzled out.
Just goes to show, you can have a great name like Wordsworth Donisthorpe, but still not be substantive enough to have a biography written about you. He was just some guy that did this one thing.
Just because you name somebody Hercules doesn't mean they're actually going to be strong like Hercules.
This was also, it was common in this time period for people to do lots of different things with their lives. Oh, I'm a businessman. When you look up some of these names that we've dropped in the early episodes, oh, they did magic lantern shows, and they were a hypnotist, and a whatever, and this and that. Like, there's a couple of people that...
A psychic.
Right, and like they didn't have, their whole lives weren't dedicated to film. And so that doesn't tell a very good story. You could tell Alice Guy's entire life as relates to film. She didn't really do anything else.
Right, right, right.
That makes her relatable. It just is a better story.
Right.
I don't really care, frankly, what Robert W. Paul was doing.
Yeah.
Leading a very Victorian life in a very Victorian time. Neat.
It's true.
And a lot of times when you read about the people from this time in particular, then you get a lot of stories like we got with Edward Muybridge. Well, he was a photographer and he traveled a lot, and well, he had a TBI from a carriage accident, and he had a wife, but she didn't really like him, and she cheated on him, and he shot the guy, and he got off, and then he went on to do 25 more things with his life after that was over. I'm like, my God, like, it's like reading a... It's very Victorian.
Yeah.
You can have, like, 8 careers in the same lifetime, or just at the same time, whatever. Which is strange to us, living in the era of specialty.
Yeah, everyone was a bit of a Renaissance man or woman.
I think it's hard to say that many people from this time deserve their own movie, though. Alice Guy, Georges Méliès, William K. Dixon. I would watch those.
Yeah, I would watch those.
Well, a lot of the point of covering this ultra-early stuff was because the next 10 years in film, there aren't really a lot of gems, I would say. It was a lot more about quantity rather than quality. So we're in for a lot of style and no substance.
Yeah, I think that's a... It's not a bleak picture, necessarily.
But occasionally we're going to come across a name that we'll know because we talked about everything from the beginning. And we'll be able to say, remember this guy? It's right. Robert W. Paul. Now he's helping invent film color. I think that was him. Shit.
I'm pretty sure.
I'll get right. My facts straight later. Yeah.
So as we mentioned at the top of the episode, you know, actualities are kind of going away. But that's going to transform into short films or serials. So we're going to see a lot of that coming up. So we will probably still do episodes in the style of what we have been doing. We'll choose a few short films, either by various artists, maybe the same artist, and give you a few to watch. But we are going to be moving more towards one film an episode once that becomes relevant.
Well, the other thing that's going to happen in the next 10 years is that there's a big lead up to feature length film. Once we get there, I think it's probably safe to say that we'll mostly be doing one film per episode.
Yeah. And we'll offer a more accurate definition of what exactly feature length film is.
But we'll definitely be slowing it down even more. There will be more than one episode per year. For the most part.
This is a time where our selection is really going to be limited by what is available. And that's going to remain true for quite some time, but particularly now.
But that opens up a new topic for us to talk about, which is lost film.
Yeah, I don't want to say I'm excited for that necessarily, but it will be fun to dig into that.
If you were going to recommend any of the films that we watched in the last 11 episodes to our listeners, what would you say are the absolute must-watches?
Astronomer's Dream. Oh, you gotta get the Monkey Shines. Can't, it's not complete without Monkey Shines.
Fuck that, don't watch those. I would say, if you haven't already, then look up the Dixon Experimental Sound film.
I think Freeze Green's Street Scene from 1891. Annie Oakley.
The Edison Annie Oakley film.
Yeah.
Where she shoots targets just off screen.
100%.
Nice job framing, you guys.
Demolition of a Building. Who's that? That's Lumiere Brothers.
Is that the one where they knock down the wall with a bunch of hammers and then they reverse it?
Yes.
That's a weird one.
It's a weird recommendation, you think?
No. It's a very experimental film.
I think it's really representative of things that they were doing and probably an accurate depiction of how it would have been watched. That they were just trying stuff. They were going forward. They were going backwards. They were winding slow. They were winding fast. You know, things you could do with just the camera right there. You didn't need any special equipment or whatever. I would recommend most things that Méliès did pre-1900. I think everything that's available is worth a watch, 100%. I don't think there's anything that he did that you shouldn't check out.
Agreed. We mentioned Kidnapping by Indians in the last episode. I recommend watching that one just for its bizarre qualities and, of course, the limp-wristed gun firing. Pew, pew.
I guess I would have to say maybe Come Along Do as well.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Come Along Do. Oh, terrible.
It's so silly, but I think that's an important one, sort of from a strictly developmental standpoint. It helped me understand the concept of film grammar really well.
Well, anyway, I'm excited to move on to 1900.
Yeah, now we can start the real podcast.
Yeah, think of these last 11 episodes as a prequel.
But not like the shitty Star Wars prequel. A good one.
I guess a prequel has to be made after the original.
Yeah, I think so too.
If you actually make a prequel first, then it's just...
Well, we sort of... First one. We did work backwards, though. Like, we started in 1900 and then worked backwards from there. And because we had all the movies picked out that we wanted to watch from 1900 to 1999 or whatever, prior to deciding that then we needed to go back and do the 1890s. So it technically is a prequel.
Actually, if you want to get really technical, my original list before this was even a podcast idea, it was just a list of movies to watch, started in 1939.
Arbitrarily, yeah.
It wasn't arbitrary. I wasn't terribly interested in watching movies from the 30s, frankly. This is just at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to go back and watch some movies that I was sort of embarrassed that I haven't seen or that I'd just never gotten around to and had to start somewhere. And then it became a podcast. And then I said, well, now we have to include the 20s because otherwise we're rubes. And then I just got earlier and earlier than till the podcast started at the beginning of time itself.
Yes, correct.
Cave drawings and... France.
It did end up going back that far. Yeah. So why don't you guys come along do to next week's episode, and we'll be in 1900.
Yeah, it's a little sad. There are no actualities anymore because they're only actualities if they were made at this time.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're short films or documentaries or newsreels or something. They get filed into some other category because... They were made later.
That's true.
They weren't. It wasn't an experiment anymore.
But we're going to start seeing all kinds of new, interesting things. So I'm excited.
Hey, we made it this far.
Yeah.
We made it through 10 years. We can do a whole century, right?
Yes, I think so. I'm here for it.
Let's do it.
So come find us on our social medias. talk with us about any of the things we talked about this week. Tell us your idea for a movie that should be made at this time.
You got anything else to say before the century ends?
No. Do you think they were worried about Y1K or Y19K?
Well, no, that whole thing was about the computer.
I know, I know.
Program grade or something.
Yes, I know.
Something dumb. It was dumb. No, but there's a lot they should have been worried about around this time that they were just, I don't know, they were busy doing cattle drives and raiding Egyptian tombs.
Yeah. It sounds pretty cool, though. Exciting times.
Having mummy parties. You know that was a thing?
Yeah, I did.
Or no, they called it unwrapping parties, yeah. Which sounds like they're unwrapping gifts or something, but rich people would buy a mummy. There were so many of them, and you could get your hands on one if you paid up.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would pay some unwrapper guy, some fucking archaeologist that didn't make it or something, to come to your house and unwrap it for you and your posh friends while you drink cocktails.
There's one of them in the Albany Historical Museum here in Albany. There's one of those, like, Victorian bought mummies.
Oh, that someone eventually donated?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's fucking terrible, actually.
It's crazy, right?
Victorians were weird, man.
Anyway, that's the kind of shit that was going on while these movies were being made.
Seriously. There were still cowboys. There were still the Wild West was still a thing when all of this was going on. I know we mentioned this at the beginning of the episode, but wow.
Again, still mind blowing, right? Yeah, yeah. So come along for the ride, guys. Should be really, really interesting. I'm looking forward to it.
All right, next week, new century, new slate. See you then.
Peace, dudes.
Bye.